He sounds great. Let's see how you sound.
My favorite. Actually, so okay. You created Craigslist. Tell us the story about the birth of Craigslist.
Okay. Craigslist basically started because I saw a lot of people helping each other out on the net, you know, on the well and news groups. I figured I should do some of that. So early 95, I figure, well, I can send out emails to friends about cool events, arts and technology events, and that would be, in a small way, giving back to people. Well, that really worked. More people wanted to be on that list, and people started asking for more, like job postings or for sale. I said, hey, how about apartments? You know, a shortage started in San Francisco around then. And that's the initial history, and in a sense, the entire history. Ask for feedback, get too much of it, do something about it, and then ask for more feedback.
So you go from this sort of, I think you described it as a spaghetti dinner list almost, to this massive online community at this point. Could you tell us a little about the sort of the layout of Craigslist right now?
Well, first, I'm assuming this stuff can be edited. That's a mini disc, I think. Okay.
Good at that.
And the deal with the spaghetti dinner thing, and tell me if this is useful or not, but one of the first events that I sent out on the list was Joe's Digital Diner in San Francisco. The deal there were that people sat down to a spaghetti dinner, and afterwards somebody would do storytelling using the new technologies of that time. This is 93, 94, 95. And the deal there, I finally got the idea that storytelling is a big human thing. In a way, our sense of identity is based on our story about ourselves, and that's real important. I think you're asking what happened beyond that, too?
Yeah, so okay. Where's Craigslist now? What is that?
Craigslist now, well, based on what people in the community have asked us for, Craigslist is basically a real simple platform just to address everyday kind of needs. We all got to find a place to live. You got to get a job. You got to sell your stuff now and then, and sometimes you need to get a date. That's what we're about. And I'm also tending to speak in sound bites, which makes our mutual job easier.
Yes, absolutely. So what draws people to Craigslist?
Okay. People come to the site, they hear about it word of mouth, and they take a look for whatever they need to get done that day. Sometimes, again, you got to take a look at apartments. Sometimes, well, you're in the mood to meet someone. And sometimes you're in the mood just to be entertained by the genuine but very small human stories you see on the site. The best example, misconnections are great. But also, roommate ads are a big deal, because when you're doing a roommate ad, you're telling a brief story about yourself, and you tend to tell a fairly honest story about yourself. A lesson I learned in 99, before we had personals, when some women I knew tell me that they would do some dating by looking at guys' roommate ads, because they figured that guys typically weren't lying in those ads.
That's great. But in some ways, it's kind of Craigslist is kind of a taker's paradise. Like, I can go in and get what I need. You know, I can go in, look at ads, and just kind of just pull. And that seems to, like, what you were talking about is there it's also a community. And I was wondering how you think those things sort of work together. Like, the fact that Craigslist services these, you know, provides a platform for these basic needs. And yet, at the same time, there is something else going on with people who use the site.
Let's say I have a different mindset about the way the site's working. I figure that what's involved are ultimately millions of very small acts of goodwill. And I've given up on big acts to save the world, basically. The idea is that millions of people doing little things, that is how you save the world. You can address this in terms of network effects or sociological network theory, but it's much more mundane than that. Just people doing things in a manner with implicit goodwill to each other, that is how you save the world.
Who are these people in Craig's world? Like, who are the we keep talking about community, but like, who are these people that live in Craigslist world?
I really don't have a good grasp of what our community is like in a number of respects. Basically, it's people who just want to get the business of their everyday lives done. You do have to be connected on the net to do something like that, which does tell you a little about the demographic, except, of course, I can see a lot of things like public libraries being used a great deal. The span of the community is very broad. I can tell nowadays more and more because I do see people who are obviously in a pretty rich demographic. On the other hand, in San Francisco, a demographic which I hear from multiple sources right now are, let's say people in the escort business and individuals, and I'm now hearing that from a number of sources, and without making a judgment about that, you know, my philosophy now is everyone gets a place at the table. That's both a personal philosophy and now a political philosophy. And, you know, if a person behaves themselves on the site, that's okay with me.
How do users respond when people misuse the site?
Okay. We respond, hopefully, very quickly and hopefully effectively when someone misuses the site. And there's a lot of different ways to misuse the site. Sometimes we see some petty harassment. Sometimes we see outright scams. Sometimes we see, let's say, apartment brokers in Manhattan who are trying to abuse the site, say, posting fee apartments in the no-fee section, which is a big deal if you're looking for a place to live in Manhattan, something we've all learned from Seinfeld. Those forms of abuse, though, are a tiny percentage of what goes on the site. We're talking maybe a tenth of a percent of what happens. The deal is that my name's on the thing, and I take this personally.
It seems like people who use the site take it personally, too. Do you think, like, how do you see that happening?
Yeah. People involved with the site do take it increasingly personally, such that they're affronted, for example, when they see spam on the site or some kind of abuse. Some people have gotten a little obsessive about it in a real constructive way. I really appreciate, for example, the people who point out persistent spams or the people who locate the more abusive brokers in New York.
You talked a little bit in your talk about one of the things that's distinctive about Craigslist as a place, about users being able to tell the difference between corporate voice and human voice. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm making observations that I've really stolen from, say, the folks who did Clue Train Manifesto, particularly Dave Weinberger. The deal is that, you know, we're all consumers of media. We're all experienced human beings with good instincts and intuition. And just through repetition, you can tell when someone's speaking genuinely with some sincerity versus someone who's trying to sell you something which may or may not be good for you. You just kind of know that just through repeated exposure. And that's why we learn to filter out ads like that, whether they're on TV or on the web.
So, go ahead.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, and so how do you think Craigslist is a contrast to that? Or
okay. Craigslist, we're obviously speaking with a human voice because for the most part it's not us speaking. We set up, let's say, an initial culture and personality back in 95, which I express in the only slogan that we've ever had. I say, you know, like Craigslist, no crap. Well, maybe a little, but it's your crap. And that slogan, I guess, expresses it a great deal in a few words. Sometimes I feel that slogan was influenced by two of the greatest proponents of culture in Boston and Cambridge, the Tappet brothers, whose work I find greatly inspiring.
Great. so then,
I'd like you to run that. I can express it as a better soundbite if you wish.
Okay. But, okay.
Well, just any, yeah. Right now, okay. At heart, okay. Yeah, at heart, I'm an academic, I guess, and I read a lot about theory, and I think quantum physics is fun, but life is pretty mundane. It's run on a down-to-earth basis. Two guys have helped me out with that a great deal, both with that observation and in personal style, are the Tappet brothers, who I think are the finest proponents of culture coming out of Boston and Cambridge in particular.
Nice. So this sort of thing, that this platform that Craigslist is, it has a lot of features. A community, users feel like they belong to it, they express human voice, and it's also really tied to location. I mean, that's one of the key things about Craigslist. What do you think about the connection, the way this community operates online versus the way it functions in a city?
Well, there's the old cliche about think globally, act locally. We live our lives in a physical place, and people do manage to connect online. The online virtual community thing is for real. People do operate that way. But then people take it offline. We found people spontaneously getting together via, let's say, our discussion boards. In fact, the best example of that is the San Francisco-based food forum, where people get together fairly regularly to have big dinners. And this works really well for me. This is, I think, how we're going to run our lives more and more. And it's us running our lives rather than, let's say, something suggested via some advertisement someplace.
So on Saturday, you closed your talk with something that might have surprised some people, but this sort of idea of reemergent democracy and a kind of a huge political element to it. Can you explain how these sort of online tools and this idea of a community, how it connects in your thinking with this sort of political transition?
Well, something's going on in our country and the world right now where people are beginning to get that electronic technologies can actually connect people to do the stuff that needs to be done. And I remember from high school, Victor Hugo saying something about there's nothing so powerful as an idea whose time has come. And the deal may be now we actually have a chance of restoring some genuine democracy to the country, but not just here, but everywhere. And we're seeing the beginning of that. The Dean campaign was a big deal, and folks including Joe Trippi, Zephyr Teachout, they did a lot of the heavy lifting. Me, I'm just chatting about it right now, just talking about it. Even the Clark campaign made some big contributions, and we just got to keep pushing and just kind of make this thing happen. Me, I got to find people to talk to in the Kerry campaign, because they're running a more of a traditional campaign right now, and I'm hoping that they're going to be more responsive to people and learn a lot from the Dean campaign.
So this weekend at the conference, has it reinforced this sense of the idea whose time has come, this sort of thing of like a feeling afoot among people who love the idea of the internet as a tool, a community tool?
I think this weekend and other conferences like eTech are kind of the intellectual grounds for this kind of change, for what I hope is this wave of change. And also the groups like MoveOn in particular, they are now spurring on, I think, what will be great change in this country and beyond. The trick is now to get beyond preaching to the choir. The good folks, again, the Dean campaign, MoveOn, and so on. Boy, they've done a lot of great work. Now we got to get beyond the people who are already convinced and start convincing people in the tens of millions, and not just in this country, but beyond.
And it seems like the magic of Craigslist is that it makes these changes mundane. Like, it brings the changes to a very, mundane, in your daily life kind of level. Do you think that will be part of the political strategy also? Like, does that make sense?
Well, right now, again, Craigslist being a platform for millions of these small down-to-earth acts, well, in a sense, that's ultimately, Craigslist, yeah, right now is a platform for millions of tiny acts of goodwill. People connecting and seeing that, hey, the other folks out there are human after all. That has this political component because it says that we can trust each other. It says that people are fundamentally okay and that we need to move towards a political system which recognizes that more. And I think that leads to the notion that, well, things may be working not as well as we want, but that we can work together to change things. And that's what I'm hoping for, not a big theoretical political kind of thing, but just people giving each other a break and starting to get, well, people in office who want to give power back to their constituents. That wasn't as coherent as I want, but
no,
I never...
I think that was good. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you saying?
Yeah.
I just want to bring it back to the citizenry of Craigslist world. Just for because when you say that, well, you know, you're a very smart man and the you have this feedback loop, so obviously the features that you're adding are responding to things you recognize that the citizenry of Craigslist world wants. And I just would like you to talk to a little more about who these people are in the Craigslist communities.
Who the people are in our communities? They are pretty much everyone. We can see that reflected in the nature of the posts, and I guess I see it reflected too when someone contacts me, often because there's a problem, but it usually comes with a little story, and I see some of everyone involved getting back to me. Because you can usually tell a lot about the nature of people by, well, the problem is that they're having, or the way they express themselves. This kind of thing is for everyone. Again, everyone gets a place at the table.
Any standout examples?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of kind of the feedback I'm getting. Okay. The kind of feedback that I'm getting that's pretty recent have been people who are now relying on our site for their living in terms of advertising. Because, again, for the most part, we're free. And I've now seen, for whatever reasons, lots of issues dealing with professional massage people. I'm seeing a number of issues relating to people who put together computers for a living. Not quite certain why these particular phenomena are occurring. And I can't think of any more good examples right now.
Do you sort of go through the data that streams through, you know, when you look at sort of how people are using the misconnections, how people are using items for sale, how people are using the discussion boards? Do you filter this data just in your own use as an academic, sort of looking at what people are doing? Or do you actually plan the stuff out, filtering it into, this is what happens in Austin, this is what happens in Boston?
We used to try setting up specific categories for specific cities. We do much less of that now because, you know, it doesn't work well enough in a responsive enough way. I mean, we still do a bit of that, I think. But for the most part, people manage to find what works for them to populate those categories as sees fit. It means we got to be patient and rely on word of mouth. But we're in this for the long haul, so that's okay.
I think I'm all set.
People ask us what makes us different from much anything else. As far as I could tell, two of the big things, which are the most obvious but the hardest to articulate, are the fact that the site has some kind of personality. It's that aggregate of the personalities of the people who use the site. And because people see that on the site people are usually trustworthy, people have that expectation, and that works really well, that culture of trust. Again, we do have some genuine problems now and then. That's what keeps me busy. But, you know, when you're getting like 630 million page views a month, if you have, let's say, 50 problems a day to address, that's a tiny percentage.
Nice.
That's great.
Nice.
Thanks.
Well, that's really one of my own curiosity about what I wanted to ask you was, what do you use Craigslist for?
Right at the moment, I'm not using Craigslist much just because doing what I do kind of burns me out a little bit. You'll see, even if you look over there, you'll see I'm running a blog aggregator tool just to look at my favorite blogs, also to see what people are saying about me since it has a search facility built in. That's good. I have, for example, sold my car on the list. I've bought and sold some stuff. And, you know, someday I may, let's say, do a sublet in New York or something like that.
A woman at our office said to tell you thank you because she has found all of her roommates and all of her apartments through Craigslist.
But see, I don't know a single person who hasn't gotten a house from Craigslist in the past 3 years now. Not a single person.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. So hopefully we're going to make something out of this.
Well, what's the plan for it?
Well, we have this series of pieces we're doing on the Berkman website. It's sort of called Berkman Audio. We just did one with John Perry Barber.